Welcome, everybody. This is Rochelle, the Right Now Coach, and this is the Right Now Mastermind class for January 2013. Today's class is called Want to Write a Book This Year? Three Shifts You Must Make to Succeed. And I am your, I am the guest today. I'm doing the talk. This came to me over kind of in December, the idea for this talk, because National Novel Writing Month did not go well for me. I did not finish. I got close, very close to 50,000 words, but I didn't finish. And National Novel Writing Month was hard for a few reasons. I was trying to juggle kind of my regular work as a coach and an editor. I was blogging for National Novel Writing Month on my own blog and other blogs. I had a National Novel Writing Month project, but I also had this middle grade novel that I needed to revise and had really wanted to get out, you know, soon in the new year. Plus, we were hosting Thanksgiving again. Now, all of those things, or many of those things, were true the year before. You know, last year I did do National Novel Writing Month, but I was only working on a novel. I wasn't working on two books. And so although I got a bunch of words done on the nonfiction project, I didn't get a thing done in terms of revising the novel. And I was really frustrated. And I thought, you know, what would it take to succeed at writing this book? And so I went back to all of the times I've successfully written books and kind of analyzed them. And then I started thinking about my clients who have successfully finished books. And I thought, you know, what is the shift it takes to succeed? What makes it possible for someone to be successful at writing books? And so what do I need to get back in my life? And I came up with three shifts. And here they are. And I'm going to explain each of them in turn. But the first shift I think we need to make is from hobbyist to professional. The second shift is from multiple projects to a single project. And the third shift is from working alone to connecting with other writers. Now, I want to talk about each of these in detail, because how you make this shift and how you can make this shift and what you do with this shift are part of what's important here. So, three shifts you need to make to succeed at writing your book this year. Let's start with the first shift, from hobby to professional. I started looking at the definition of a hobbyist and realized that most of us treat writing as a hobby. A hobby, according to an online dictionary, is basically an activity that we do regularly in our leisure time for pleasure. Most of us write regularly. Most of us are also holding down a day job or also writing for pay while we're also trying to get our passion projects done. So a lot of us treat writing like a hobby. At least I've treated my fiction writing as a hobby. Then I started looking at, well, what does a profession look like? What are some of the characteristics of a profession? A profession is an occupation or a career that's characterized by having these things: a set of expectations and guidelines about what the profession entails, training that must be completed before starting to work and on the job while you're learning to do the profession, as well as continuing education along the way, a set or regular time to work, a set place to work, an expectation of what will get done during working hours, a deadline to meet, people to be accountable to, regular rules about what can and cannot be done during working hours, a regular payment in exchange for one's time or work product, and colleagues. Now, if we treated writing our book as a profession instead of a hobby, then I was thinking these are some things we would not do. We would not be having coffee with friends during our best writing hours. We would not fail to show up to write, sometimes for months at a time. You know, I've had 2 or 3 months go by when I haven't worked on my novel. And if that were my job, I'd have been fired. But because it's my hobby, because it's only something I do part-time, it's okay. If writing were a profession, we wouldn't show up to write but only put in a minimal amount of time. We wouldn't show up to write but also try to watch television, monitor children, answer the phone, and take texts while we were working. We wouldn't read someone else's work or clean the office or obsess about whether to go for an agent or self-published while we're trying to write our book. We wouldn't be playing on Facebook and Twitter during our writing time. And we wouldn't only write in our off hours when we're tired. So these are all the things that we wouldn't do. Now, when I started talking about this with friends, they all said, well, what about money? That's the biggest protest I hear. When I talk about treating writing as a profession, people say, oh, I don't make enough money to treat writing as a profession. If I made money, then I could do that, but I need to earn an income. Now, I work full-time in and around the profession of writing. I do not earn a full-time income from writing kids' books or writing novels. So it's easy for me to push aside the novel in favor of the things I do that make money, like coaching and editing and writing I do for fee. But treating my children's novel as if it were a hobby is never going to get me published, and it's never going to move me into that realm where I can get published from that writing. So if I treat it like a profession, though, I'd have a better chance of someday earning an income from it. Consider this. Most of us write professionally long before we make a full-time income writing. Many professions have a system where people who are new to the profession make little or no money while they're learning the job. Usually they also have to pay a tuition fee on top of this when they do an internship or a residency. Think about jobs like physicians and ministers, lawyers, psychologists, marketing professionals, even people who work in and around the TV and film industry, like casting directors and so forth, take unpaid internships in order to learn the job. In professions where people do internships, they are still required to show up, set and meet work goals, and produce results. In other words, treat it like a profession. So I started to look around at my books and online for examples of this, and I came across the story of Amanda Hocking, which I'm sure you've all heard about. Amanda's known as the young Minnesota writer who made millions self-publishing paranormal romance novels, and then, you know, got a six-figure deal from St. Martin's Press. So she's, you know, she made headlines when her books kind of went viral. But this was the interesting thing I found out about her. According to a 2011 story in the New York Times, in January 2009, Hocking said she started to treat writing differently. She'd always written. She'd been writing since she was a little girl. But in January 2009, she decided to treat writing as a job. Now, she still had a day job. She worked at an adult group home. But she would only do writing kind of when she felt like it, like, you know, like playing video games or watching TV. After she made this shift in her life, she started to treat writing as a job. And she would write even when she didn't feel like it. She'd write when she was tired. And then she started doing things like going to the bookstore, or in her case, Walmart, and researching the industry to see what was published. She started reading a lot of young adult novels. And she figured out that romance novels were kind of evergreen, that they were very, very popular and continued to be popular. And so she would work all day at an adult group home. She'd come home, down a can of Red Bull, and then write for another 8 hours. This is what I noticed as I started reading these articles about Amanda Hocking. When she started treating writing as a real job, she wrote regularly. She wrote when she didn't feel like it. She wrote after a full day of work, and she researched the publishing industry. All of these things made it possible for her to not only finish 5 or 6 books in a year, but to pursue self-publishing and become successful. So it was her treating writing like a profession that changed things. So I started to think, what might change if we thought of writing our books as a job? What if we took this passion of ours and treated it like an unpaid internship? We might do the following things. We might create a space to write in. We might set aside time each day or week to write. We would honor that time with our complete focus and attention. In other words, we would protect it from interruptions like phone calls, coffee dates, social media notices, and so forth. We'd show up on time and work for a designated amount of time every time we were scheduled to write, just like we were making burgers at Burger King. We would set daily and weekly goals and make sure we met those daily and weekly goals. We would look for and get professional training or mentoring when necessary, and then we would seek to be paid for work completed, either through putting out a book proposal, writing query letters, or so forth. When we treat writing like a profession, we're able to finish and sell our books and are able to become, in fact, professional writers who make money from writing. So, shift number one, if you're going to write your book this year, I want you to stop treating writing like a hobby. Stop thinking of yourself as a hobbyist. Think of yourself as a professional and devote the time and energy to your writing that a professional would devote to their writing. So that's shift one. Shift two is a challenging one. Shift two is shifting from multiple projects to a single project. I agonized over this shift because I don't want it to be true. I would love to be able to write 17 projects at once, but it's just not possible. Most writers I work with as a coach struggle with having too many good ideas and not enough time to devote to each of them. And they're not alone. I have the same problem. They agonize over the choices. As a matter of fact, they spend so much time agonizing over the choices. You know, would it be better to do this book or that book? Which would have a better chance of selling? Which would be easier? Which would be more fun? Which could I do faster? Which would fit into my life right now? And so forth. We end up spending all of our time worrying over a writing project or which project to choose rather than spending our time actually writing a project. If we want to complete a book this year, we need to choose one project to work on and, for a time, not forever, set aside the others. I think that the reason National Novel Writing Month went so badly for me this year was that I had too many writing and editing projects going. I was writing a nonfiction book on writing. I was blogging about National Novel Writing Month. I was wanting to be revising this novel. I was editing a periodical, and then I was writing some articles for publication, and I didn't think I could do anything well. When I look back at my productive writing months, I notice one thing. I dedicated my writing time to a single project. In 2004, I wrote a book with a friend in only 9 days, but I was able to do that because I devoted all my time to that project. In 2011, when I had a month to write an additional 25,000 words for Write-A-Thon, as well as revise the book, my entire day was scheduled to support that project. I wrote new material in the morning, I revised in the afternoon, and I researched in the evening. But I'm not the only one who's done this. As I started looking around at other writers, I saw that this is pretty common. I especially was reading romance authors, because romance authors are known for being incredibly prolific. You know, these are people who turn out hundreds of books in their career. Best-selling romance author Joan Johnston said in an interview, "I only write one book at a time. I tried doing two once, a historical and a contemporary, but the contemporary characters kept speaking like they were in an old Western. So it got confusing, and she went back to one book at a time." Best-selling author Melody Carson has written more than 200 books and sold more than 5 million books. When she was asked how she does it, she said, "One book at a time, just like so many other things in life. One step at a time, one day at a time. This writing career happened one book at a time and continues to do so." And that was really encouraging to me. Here's a woman who's published a lot of books. She continues to publish a lot of books, and yet she does one thing at a time. In Write-A-Thon, I wrote about a marathon runner that I worked with, and she got so inspired during her runs that she had developed a long list of book ideas. But she worked full-time, ran regularly, and she was having difficulty figuring out, you know, what books she could complete during her daylight hours. One day while we were talking about all the choices she had, I said to her, "You can only run one marathon at a time." And in that moment, something clicked for her, and I think for me. She decided to work on only one book. The rest she put in a someday file. And after that conversation, I thought, you know, we really can only run one race at a time. we really can only write one book at a time. Now, the objections I hear to this are things like, oh, but I have so many ideas. How can I work on just one book? What if I get bored? What if I get stuck? What if I can't sell it? Well, it's hard to sell something we haven't finished either. So working at one project at a time guarantees that we'll at least have a fighting chance of finishing it. But I want to look at each of these criticisms about working on a single book at a time in turn, because I think they're important criticisms. The first is, but I have so many ideas. This is why I think it's important to have an idea file. If you have projects that are close to becoming your first project or the project you're going to be finishing, it can also be helpful to have an actual project binder or a file on your computer or even a shelf in your office where you put everything that you're collecting for that project so that when it's time for that project to be on the front burner, you can bring it forward. But I think an idea journal or an idea file is a good way to kind of keep track of all these ideas so you don't feel like you're just wasting them. They're still there, and they'll still be there when you're done with the book you're working on. The second thing people say to me is, well, what if I get bored? What if I get stuck? What, you know, aren't I going to be just wasting all this time stuck? I've noticed that when I get bored or stuck with a project, I'm actually really tempted to go to another project or play on Facebook. And what I found is when I stick with the project I'm working on, so if I'm working on the novel and I'm bored or I'm stuck and I don't know what's going to happen, I do best if I can stick with that project and maybe take some sort of a renewing break, like fold some towels or walk around the block with the dogs or, you know, make the beds or something, you know, just something different. Go run for a little bit. I'm usually able to find the answer I need and push through the block with the project. When I cannot work through the problem I'm having with the writing, having only one project can give me an opportunity to work on another aspect of the project. So maybe I don't know what to do with a specific scene, but I can go back and look at another narrative thread that's not working, or I can put together a bibliography or kind of start researching agents. So kind of keeping myself working on the garden, you know, rather than moving to a separate garden and planting that, helps me to move forward. The third thing people say is, well, what if I spend all this time writing this book and I can't sell it? I think this is a fear that most writers have. We worry that we're going to waste a whole bunch of time on a project that will not sell. A few things about this. First of all, know that writing's always a risk. Writing a book is a business venture, just like opening a restaurant. You can create it, but you also need to make sure that people come to the restaurant and eat. You can create a book, but you need to find a way to get it into people's hands. You can protect yourself by doing some market research before you set aside time for a project. Talk to your booksellers, ask your friends, visit the library bookstore, and surf online at book sites. Find out if there's a market for this book. And finally, I think you have to take a risk. You cannot sell a project if you don't develop a proposal or write a novel and send out the query letter. So at some point in time, you're going to have to take a leap. All that said, when I talk about writing one project at a time, I mean one book project at a time. I assume that most writers are also going to be blogging, writing short articles, keeping up with social media, and doing all the things, other things that writers do. You know, answering emails, speaking, researching the market. I like to think of the book writing as kind of, in athletic terms, as our marathon, and our blogging and article writing or social media time as cross training. You know, like lifting weights, yoga, or biking might be. The shorter projects should help to develop our other muscles and protect us from injury or burnout. But both of those are necessary. And then don't worry, or don't forget, when you're writing one project, you will also have several projects on the back burners. And in Walking on Water, which is this great little book on writing by Madeline Lingle, she talks about kind of writing as being like a French peasant cook. She says, When I start working on a book, which is usually several years and several books before I start to write it, I'm somewhat like a French peasant cook. There are several pots on the back of the stove, and as I go by during a day's work, I drop a carrot in one, an onion in another, a chunk of meat in another. When it comes time to prepare the meal, I take the pot, which is the most nearly full, and bring it to the front of the stove. So it is with writing. There are several pots on those back burners. An idea for a scene goes into one, a character into another, a description of a tree in the fog in another. When it comes time to write, I bring forward the pot which has the most in it. And I like that image because it means that nothing's ever lost. You know, we're always putting our bits and scraps and pieces into different files or into our idea file, but we're really spending a lot of time kind of stirring the pot that is the book we want to finish this year. So that's the second shift, from multiple projects, juggling two or three books, to really focusing and digging into one book and getting that done. The third shift is I think, for me, one of the most remarkable ones, because I'm an introvert. I like to be alone. I don't mind going weeks at a time being alone. But it occurred to me this year that one of the big shifts we have to make if we're going to finish books is from going it alone to connecting with other writers. And let me tell you exactly what I mean by this, because it's very intentional kind of connecting that I'm talking about. I've worked for a lot of years as an editor. I actually edited for many years before I became a writing coach. I've taught at conferences. I've attended a lot of conferences. And I've always seen the value in connecting with other writers. And I've worked to do this over the years. But I've had two really big aha moments in the last few years that helped me to see the value of connecting with other writers in more deliberate and purposeful ways. The first aha moment came after the first time I did Nano, or the first time I successfully did Nano in 2009. Every single day I had this word count to reach, and I looked forward to going online at noon and recording my word count, and then like going on Twitter or Facebook and chatting with other writers, or stopping down at the bookstore and seeing my friends who were also doing Nano and seeing how they were doing. And then once Nano was over, I realized how much I missed the fact that a whole bunch of people I knew were all working on a book at the same time. That was just a remarkable, amazing thing to have this whole community that was working on this writing thing together and all kind of trying to get their 1,667 words a day. The second aha moment came from kind of my other job, one of my day jobs. I work as a wellness coach, and over the past 4 years, I've been coaching groups of professionals around setting and achieving personal and professional wellness goals. And what I've seen is that these groups, the people who are in these groups do really well. They really do well at exercising more and eating better and losing weight and getting their finances in order or whatever their goals are. And a big piece of it is that they're doing it with a whole group of people and not just alone. They've got all this accountability. And I thought, wow, you know, that's what I need from another writer. Not necessarily someone to look at my stuff, but someone to say, hey, have you done this? These two experiences convinced me that although we have to write books alone, we need the support of other writers. There's this great little book, I hope it's still in print, it's called Writing Brave and Free, by authors Ted Kooser and Steve Cox. And they talk about Stephen King and his famous saying, you know, write with the door closed, but rewrite with the door open. And they have this amazing image. They say writing can be like folding a banquet-sized tablecloth. You can do it yourself, but it's a lot easier when you can find someone to help. So what might working with others look like? I think there's some very obvious and purposeful ways we can work with others. One, we can attend conferences. I went to the Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators Conference for the first time in 10 years. Or more than 10 years last fall. And it was very helpful to get information and purposefully talk to other writers about their writing. The second thing we can do is join an online or in-person writing critique group. knowing that I have to turn in a piece of writing to my critique group once a month and knowing that I'm going to have to read their work and really kind of think about children's writing has been very helpful to me. Another thing we can do is just connect regularly with friends who write. Get together at the coffee shop. Meet to exchange ideas, to exchange tips, and even to exchange manuscripts. Set goals and provide accountability for each other. Another thing you can do is have a writing buddy and just text every day, either before or after your writing session. Another thing you can do is challenge a colleague to a goal, writing a short story or finishing a manuscript or whatever. Over the past 5 years, I've had a mastermind partnership with another entrepreneur. And when she was here, we met in person. A few years ago, she moved to Atlanta, so we continue to meet once a month by Skype. And both of us credit this partnership to getting a lot more done. Just recently, I decided to do this same sort of thing with a writing friend. And so before Christmas, we talked about what we each wanted to get done. We set a date to exchange manuscripts on, I think it was like January 11th. And so that became my deadline. And I needed to make time to work on my book every day so I could get it to her to read and offer suggestions on. And that kind of little exchange helped me a ton. So let's review. The three shifts, and we're way ahead of time, so we're going to have tons of time for questions. The three shifts we need to make in order to successfully complete our book this year are, first of all, from hobbyist to professional writer. We need to stop treating writing as a hobby, something we do in our free time, something we do for fun, and start thinking of it as a profession. We need to put our time, money, and energy into writing if we're going to reap the rewards that a professional reaps and if we're going to finish our book. If we're going to finish our book this year, the second shift we need to make is from multiple projects to a single project. So you're going to choose the most promising project you have, the one that you're most excited about, the one you have the most work done on, the one that feels like you're most ready to do. I always say, you know, what's the one project I want to complete before I die? Having a kind of a macabre personality. So then I always end up working on the one that I'm just the most kind of jazzed about. So choose the most promising project and work on it. Chances are, if you get to work on it, you're going to be able to do another project or two more projects this year, but you have to only work on one project at a time. And then this third shift is from working alone to connecting with other writers. You're going to set up a network of support. And this network of support is going to provide you with things like daily accountability, you know, going online and saying to your friend on Facebook or via email, hey, I did my writing this today, or meeting with someone once a week for coffee and saying, how did you do with your writing, or making a deal, okay, we're both going to write a story or we're both going to write our project and exchange it in a week, or, you know, having a friend that's your conference buddy and that you two go to book signings or author events or writing conferences and kind of support each other that way. So how do you kind of put this all into practice? You know, they're big shifts. Last fall, I read a book that encouraged people to treat new practices like scientific experiments. So rather than saying, okay, I'm just changing my life, it's going to be like this from now on, I would, you know, try one of these at a time or try a couple at a time, but test it out for a few weeks and, you know, pay attention to what works and what doesn't work. Collect data from your own life and analyze it. That's kind of what I did when I went to think up these three shifts, is I went through every single time I'd successfully completed a book and looked at what was going on. You know, were we especially healthy then? Did I not have kids? What was going on that made it possible? And these were three of the things that I found in common for every single project I finished. I was treating writing like a profession, I was working on a single project, and I was regularly connecting with other writers. So collect the data. Give yourself, you know, time to experiment with the shifts and see which piece works for you. Notice what happens to your productivity when you treat writing like a job, when you choose a single project, and when you connect with other people. So I do want to let you know about my new opportunity for you, and then I want to open up the call for questions. So I'm going to be unmuting you in a second. So I'm going to unmute everybody, and if you still want to be muted, like if you have barking dogs like I do, you can push star 6. I've become so enchanted with this idea of connecting with other writers this year that I'm launching this group coaching program, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to try it for free next week. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to have my web person put up this recording, and I'll send you a link to the recording, and I'll send you a link to the group coaching program. But I just have two little groups starting. One is called Yes, I Want to Finish My Book, and that's a coaching group designed for people who really have a goal of finishing a book and want to finish it. The other group is called Help, I Need to Grow My Platform, and it's about kind of looking at each other's websites and blogs and Twitter accounts and thinking about brands and figuring out how we can grow our platform and how we can help each other grow our platform. Both of the groups will be put into a private Facebook group so that we can connect with each other online and just say, you know, how's the writing going? What's working? What's not working? The nice thing is that they'll meet Tuesday, like dinner time, 5 o'clock and 6:15 Central Time. And the nice thing is next week, next Tuesday, is free. You can just call in and see how it goes. And so if you're interested in coming, just send me an email, rochelle@rightnowcoach.com, and I'll send you all the information for coming. But I'll be sending you a link to all this information. So I'm unmuting all of you. I want to go back to our three shifts and see, you know, what are your questions? What are the things that you think might be difficult? When I coach people, I always say to them, you know, as you're thinking about putting these practices into play, tell me what you think's not going to work, and let's work on that. So it's always good to think about, well, what's not going to work, and how can we jump over that hurdle before we get to the hurdle and let it kind of knock us over? Now, if you want to mute yourself, you can push star 6. I've unmuted all of you. Hopefully, I haven't unmuted you twice when you wanted to be mute, but you can push star 6 if you want to mute yourself. And please feel free to ask questions. What are your questions about these three shifts? And I think I've talked really fast, so this is a shorter call than usual. So, questions.
Rochelle, I have a question about the spelling of the authors for Writing Brave and Free. What are their names?
Ted Kooser, K-O-O-S-E-R, and Steve Cox, C-O-X.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Other questions?
Because I had a question. I was wondering if you set aside a specific amount of time for emails and blogging and that's separate than your project time, of course, but do you, like, do that every day so you have your basic email, blogging, that kind of thing done, and then still have time for your project every day, or do you have certain days that you do blogging and certain days that you do a project?
That's a really good question. I can answer for myself, and I have found that I have to set a specific time each day to do email. And so I try to, and to do social media. So, and I have decided I have to write in the morning, so I check email every day about 11 or 12 and do email then, and then I go back and do email usually 3 or 4 in the afternoon. And I try to do social media during those same two times. But when it comes to blogging, because blogging takes the same kind of brain energy as writing on my book takes, I usually set aside a day to blog or to write up a bunch of blogs. and to do queries and things like that. And one of the things I found is that I have to schedule it. When I don't schedule it, I end up with, oh my gosh, it's Monday morning and I have a newsletter to do that needs to be ready to go out at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. And so I hate to be in that position. I'm not good with last minute things. I'm kind of the kind of person who does things ahead of time. So I think it's helpful if you can schedule it as much as possible. I keep an idea notebook for my blog so that I have ideas to go to. One of the things that's really helped me lately has been putting together my nonfiction book that I'm working on and trying to take chapters of that and use that as my blog. So at least I feel like I'm working on a project, even though it's not my front burner project. Then I have this whole list of ideas that I can write about, because sometimes the hardest thing with blogging is coming up with an idea of what am I going to write about this week. So I hope that answers your questions. I think other people do it differently. The key, I think, for each person is to really be a scientist about your own life and find out the times of day that you work the best and write then. Find out the times of day that you like to be on social media and do that then. Some people like to kind of mix it up a little bit more than I do. They like to kind of be connecting with people and writing at the same time. I don't. I feel like I get a lot more done in a shorter period of time if I can just devote, you know, an hour to writing and then go and do the other stuff later. Thank you. That's a great question. Other questions about how to put this into practice in your life?
Rochelle, I have a question about conferences.
Yeah,
and accountability. I've tried different things, and having a partner to share writing with and so forth, that can be very helpful. I've done that over the internet already. I've tried different groups, local groups, and sometimes the writers aren't serious enough, and it doesn't work out that well. I mean, a small group of writers, say 3 or 4 people. But my question has to do with conferences. Could you recommend 3 or 4 conferences in the Midwest that might be exceptionally good for us to go to? And I know that it may make a difference depending on interests and focus. But
what kind of writing do you do?
Well, I do different kinds. Right now, I need to finish my novel. So,
okay.
That would be good. I also have written a lot of nonfiction in the past.
Okay. Boy, conferences are a tough thing, because I think this is what I notice about conferences. And you know, first, on the partner thing, I think it's great to have a writing partner. That can be the most successful thing. I think the writing group thing is difficult. I've been in multiple writing groups that haven't worked. My favorite writing group I'm in right now is an online writing group, and we just exchange manuscripts, so there's no drama. There's no talking. It's just looking at manuscripts. We have a separate a date every month that we do it.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of conferences, this is what I've noticed about conferences. Conferences run the gamut in terms of seriousness and kind of the quality of people you're going to get. And so kind of at one level, many conferences are simply, I'm just starting to write, tell me how to start out. And it's just a whole lot of information and a whole lot of editors and a few agents.
Yes.
But it's very basic newbie type of stuff. And it's I don't know if it's that helpful. And then the second kind of conference is a little more substantial. They offer kind of heavier information, and it's a little more deep, and it also sometimes costs a little bit more money. This is what I found to be really helpful. Well, first of all, there's the Iowa Writers Workshop offers summer kind of writing camps for people. They're week-long writing things. So if you're looking to improve a book, or do a book, improve your craft, that's a good place. If you want to spend less money, the Loft in Minneapolis offers weekend conferences. If you live in Minneapolis, they have ongoing weekly classes. But if you don't, you can go for a weekend for a class in dialogue or a class in voice or whatever. Then the third thing is that there are all sorts of kind of smaller, kind of newbie-type conferences around. And there are in the Writer's Market Guide and in Writer's Market Guide online, there's lists of those. And what I usually do is think about them in terms of what I want to accomplish at the time. So if I'm looking to get an agent, I look for conferences where an agent I might be interested in is there so I can go and pitch my manuscript. If I'm looking to write for a particular market, I will go to those conferences. And so I kind of choose them based on who's speaking. People who are in the Christian writing market, Write to Publish in Wheaton, Illinois, is a phenomenal conference. I'm speaking there this year in June, and they always have really good speakers at all different levels. Madison, the University of Madison, has a summer conference by the lake that's really helpful. Milwaukee has a conference that usually has an agent at it called the Spring Writers Festival at UW-Milwaukee Continuing Education Department. I've had the opportunity to pitch to a couple of agents there, and that's been really helpful for me. So what I really encourage people to do is kind of take a look at what's out there and go to the conferences that have what you're looking for. And if you can stay local, that's really good because then you don't have to spend a ton of money on travel. If you're interested in traveling and that's, you know, if you've got that kind of money, there's a great conference in Maui every year that's supposed to be one of the best. There's a great conference in Florida every year that's supposed to be really good. And there's a host of West Coast Writers Conferences that take place in San Diego, Los Angeles, and San Francisco every year. You know, I this is such a good topic. I'm gonna find someone who can write about this for my blog. So we will follow up on a blog post on conferences with some of the highlights, either by me or someone else. Great question. Thank you. Other questions?
I've worked for the past 34 years in a profession, and now I have things that I have written in the past. I had a syndicated column for, almost 30 years. I stopped doing it about a month ago, and now I have a bunch of things that I've written in the past, one of them being a book that, like you, I sat down in 9 days it was written, and I just left it on a shelf. And now I've become pretty passionate about going toward another venue, and I've been writing about that. So to pick the one book, it's really hard when you're trying to create something new, but you do have a book there that's sitting there that is partially edited professionally, and yet it's not done. So how do you pick the book?
And
I have all those years of experience have given me precise books. I've got the pots on the stove, and they're all pretty full.
I think that's really hard. You know, I think I've been in that situation. I've watched clients go through that situation, and I think, if you're in a situation where you have a full time amount of time to dedicate to writing, it is possible, I think, to probably work on the new project first thing and then go to the revised project and really think about how you're going to get that done and out. I think that can, I really think you could probably, decide, like you were a project manager and say, okay, how long is it going to take me to get this book ready to query agents or editors or whatever? What do I need to do this? And can I get this done in 2 weeks or can I get this done in 3 weeks? And then you could set aside everything else for those 3 weeks and get that done so that you have some things out and being considered by agents or publishers while you're working on something else. And that way you kind of have, one pot off getting tested and tasted while you're working on the next pot and you got another back burner project going. That might be a way to do it. The other way to do it is kind of to divide your time, is to say, okay, mornings are my time for new writing, afternoons are my time to revise the book, and I'm going to do just those two projects, and that's it. So that's another way to do it. I always, you know, like to say to people, what's the one project you want to finish before you die? And I know that sounds kind of macabre, it sounds kind of, but it helps you to really access this idea of what do I really want to do? Not what's best for the market, not what's going to sell, not what my spouse or friend or partner or whatever thinks I should do. What do I really want to finish? Because you're going to have the most energy for the thing that you're most interested in finishing. Good for you. Good for you that you have so many projects to choose from. That's wonderful. So I hope that helps.
Okay. Thank
others,
you.
No problem. What questions do you have?
My question was again about the writing buddy or some accountability.
Mm.
I have a few friends online and they're writers and I send them things and it just comes back fluff. I mean, the only person that really gives me a little red ink or purple ink doesn't really write herself. She's an editor, which is excellent. But is the group that you're talking about for, yes, I want to finish my book this year, closer to the editor or to the fluff?
I mean,
you know, it's nice to have people pat you on the back and say, oh, that's lovely, but it's more helpful to have somebody say,
yep,
I don't understand what you're saying with this sentence, you know?
Yeah. That's a great question. I think it takes a lot. It takes some time to find someone who can really offer you critique, good critique. And the people in my critique group say things like, be hard on me. I really want to get better, because you really do want to figure out how this is going to communicate the best way possible, what makes sense, what doesn't make sense. The coaching groups that are coming, and the one about I want to finish my book this year, my hope is that it will be serious and people serious about finishing writing. Our goal is not going to be to exchange writing, although with your buddy you can make that arrangement to do that. Our goal is going to be to talk to each other about setting goals, what's working, what's not working, and then as a group talk about some of the things we're struggling with. And so to say, look, I don't know how to make this character blah, 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 or I don't know how to do this. And we can talk about it as a group and offer kind of real feedback or real questions. Well, what would you, what are you thinking it should happen? Or I read this book that says you could do this with a character or so forth. My hope would be that with your buddy, because there'll be six people in the group, every person will have one buddy, you'll be able to exchange manuscripts. And let me tell you, as someone who's gone through many writing groups and many writing buddies, it just takes time to find someone who can really offer you the kind of feedback you need. And we were talking about writing conferences. One of the best writing conferences that's out there is just a day-long conference called Write Camp Milwaukee. It's absolutely free. It's usually held in May in Milwaukee. But things like that are great places to meet people who can be potential writing buddies, to find someone who you trust, who you can trust with your work, and who's willing to give you the kind of feedback you need, who's at or above your level, someone who is writing the kinds of stuff you're writing, or maybe isn't even a little ahead of you, who has done a little bit more publishing than you. And I think, what you want from that kind of person is two kinds of feedback. One is the development editor feedback, which can talk about more than just commas. That can talk about how a story is moving forward or how a chapter is structured or how your book is structured. That's, kind of really important feedback as well. It's easier to find the person who can say, you need a comma here, or you use affect and effect in the wrong way, or further and farther in the wrong ways, and so we need to fix that. That's easier to find. There are more people who know that stuff than there are people who can talk to you about book structure. So it's just, it's going to take some practice to find that. So we have time for one more question. Does anybody have a final question?
Michelle, I have a question.
Yeah.
Just on exactly what you were talking about, I took a paper and I want to write a book. It's my memoir. And I just paid somebody $500, and he gave me lots of advice, and he corrected my paper, about 9 pages of corrections.
Wow.
And went over all the corrections. My question is, I'm never going to be an English writer. I mean, I don't know where to put all the commas and how to use the exact words. I kind of do, kind of don't. But to me, that's like going back to school all over again and getting an English degree to write my book.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, do I need to do that? Or, I mean, I can look up, make sure I have every word spelled right and write it. You know, I have all the information. That's not the issue. The issue is, as far as editing and stuff, I'm just kind of discouraged, and yet kind of, you know, I still have a due date when I want my proposal done, and I'm still kind of pushing myself. But my grammar is not the best.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's something that's going to come with time. I don't know that you necessarily need to go to school. Sometimes taking a writing class, like through a continuing ed department, not a writing class that teaches you how to write, but a writing class where you're getting some feedback on your writing, and then you'll start to notice things that you do that don't work, you know, ways
right.
you structure sentences that don't work, ways, you know, that your verbs and your subjects don't agree. And, you know, the goal in being a writer, if you're going to write a memoir, and memoirs are interesting because they're nonfiction, but they're supposed to read like fiction. They're supposed to read like a story. And
right.
so you want it to be good. You want to understand all those pacing things and so forth. And so, you know, my advice would be just to read a lot. Read a lot of memoirs and keep writing, and you're going to get better. And then there are always people who you can pay to do one of two things. You can pay someone to help you with the development edit, like to help you make the story feel like a story. And you can also pay someone to do what you did. You paid someone to correct the kind of grammatical stuff.
Right.
And
just to look at it and see if there was a story there.
Yeah.
And actually got some wonderful feedback and said, yes, it's a book that everyone will want to read.
Oh, good.
Yes, yeah. So,
good.
He said a must read is actually how, you know, this person described it and gave me some really, really good feedback. It's just that, you know, I only read nonfiction to start out
okay.
with. And I've been reading nonfiction. I've read a lot. I have saved newspaper articles and clippings, and, you know, so I've done a lot of that, and I continue to do that. And I have written some short articles that have been published.
Okay.
So, and this paper I wrote like 15 years ago, so.
Okay.
For a college class. You know,
well, and it sounds like. So now you're transitioning it into a memoir, is what I'm hearing.
And now, right, I'm going to turn it into a memoir because I've always wanted to write my story.
Yeah,
it's always been in the back of my mind for years, and I think now is the time. Now I'm ready to do it and ready to write and.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, and I think you going about it this way is good. You got some good feedback from someone, and I would, you know, read some memoirs. Go out and find some memoirs on the topic that you're working on. I wrote an article for Psychology Today on writing a memoir, so you can probably, if you want to email me, I can send you the link. And I'm Rochelle at rightnowcoach.com.
Yep, I've got your email.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you. And thanks to everybody for coming. I want to remind you that your three shifts that you're going to make this year are, first of all, from hobbyist to professional. You've got my permission to go out and get yourself cards that say my name, author. And when people ask you what you do, you can tell them you're a writer, and you can tell them, nope, I'm working then. You don't have to tell them that you're writing then. You can tell them I'm at work then. I'm scheduled to work. The second shift you're going to make is that you're going to move from multiple projects to a single project. Now, single project doesn't mean one project for the whole year. It might mean one project for this month, another project next month, and so forth, moving through your serial projects. But from multiple projects to a single project, the third shift is from working alone to connecting with other writers, to find an intentional way to connect. And again, if you're interested in that, I'll be sending out a link after the class to my group coaching program on my website. I have two groups. One is called Yes, I Want to Finish My Book. The second is called Help, I Need to Grow My Platform. Both groups are much more reasonable than individual coaching, and both groups are going to be free next week, so you can stop by and see what it's like and have us, you know, we'll have a chance to talk a little bit. So thank you so much for coming. I wish you the best. And if you end up putting these things to work and it works for you, I'd love to have you write a guest blog post for me and let me know what worked and what didn't work. So thanks so much for coming. Today is the Right Now Mastermind class with Rochelle, the Right Now Coach. Next month, we'll be talking with Mandy Stanley, who's an expert speaker, and she'll be talking to us about how we can take our writing on the road and earn money by building a speaking career. So we should have a great time, and you should walk away from next month's class with tons of detailed information about how you can earn some money while you're writing that book. So thanks, everybody. Have a great day, and happy writing. Bye.